What's up, everyone? My name is Rachel Loren, and you're listening to the Texas Country Tour Podcast.
Welcome to the Texas Country Tour Podcast. Whether you're looking for a performance near you or want to learn more about your favorite local artists, this show connects you with all things Texas country music. From deep in the heart of Texas, here's your host, Cameron Mitchell.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Texas Country Tour Podcast, where we dive deep into the heart and soul of the Lone Star State's vibrant country music scene. Today, we have a real treat for you. Get ready to be captivated by the incredibly talented Rachel Loren. Rachel is a rising star, a true embodiment of Texas grit and musical passion. Her voice, as powerful as a Texas thunderstorm, carries the echoes of her roots and the stories of her journey. Interviewing Rachel is an opportunity to explore the depths of her artistic vision. We'll uncover the inspiration behind her heartfelt lyrics, the stories that have shaped her music, and the experiences that have molded her into the artist she is today. As we embark on this sonic adventure, I invite you to tune in and listen closely. Rachel's melodic tales will transport you to open fields, dusty roads, and the heart of Texas. Through her music, you'll find solace, joy, and maybe even a little bit of yourself. But our journey does not stop here. To stay connected with Rachel Loren and never miss a beat, be sure to follow her on social media. You'll get exclusive updates and behind-the-scenes moments on her life on the road. And while you're at it, don't forget to hit that follow button for the Texas Country Tour Podcast as well. We're your gateway to the best of Texas country music, and we'll bring you closer to the artists who make it all possible. So grab your boots, embrace the Texas spirit, and join us as we reveal the magic of Rachel Loren's incredible talent. Let's start an unforgettable episode of the Texas Country Tour Podcast. Rachel, welcome to the podcast. We are glad to have you here.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm so excited.
So we want to learn all about you, all about Rachel Loren. And the first question we have is, can you tell us about yourself?
Yeah, a loaded question. So I'm from a little town in East Texas called Gun Barrel City. It's between Dallas and Tyler-ish. I grew up there, went to school there. Pretty normal childhood. No, you know, I sang in choir. I sang in church choir. Definitely early age knew I wanted to do music, but I had no idea kind of how. So just a pretty normal childhood. I have a bunch of siblings. So, you know, went to school. I played sports, did music when I could, you know, through like school and church and stuff like that. But other than that, it was pretty normal. And then I went off to college at Texas State University, which is in San Marcos. Loved that college, had the time of my life, highly recommended to everybody. Best time ever. But that's kind of when I realized, okay, maybe I kind of want to do music, but didn't really like know how. And so I actually took a job in Tulsa, Oklahoma right after college. And that's really where I was like, oh no, like I want to do music. This is not what I want to be doing. I'm, you know, 21 with like a 401k, which is great. It just wasn't for me. And so I grabbed a guitar. And my little sister actually had an old guitar and she never played it. So I remember I texted her one time and I was like, hey, can I come grab that guitar? And I drove home from Tulsa and I got the guitar and I went back to Oklahoma and I kind of taught myself how to play it. And then 9 months later, I'm to Nashville and I've been here ever since. So kind of like a very high level view, but that's pretty much it.
Nice. I actually used to live in San Marcos for about 2.5 years. So I'm gonna have a follow-up question. I didn't go to Texas State. I graduated from Tarleton and then I moved in with a girlfriend at the time and tried to figure that all out. And so my follow-up question is, what for San Marcos, Texas, where was your favorite place to eat?
Oh, that's a good question. There's a lot of really good Mexican food there. I mean, in Texas in general, but then we're closer to the border, so it's like really good Mexican food.
Right.
There's this little breakfast taco place called Lolita's. It's like this little shop, and it's so good. But as far as like, I really, this is so crazy. There's a place called Rail Yard, and they have like the best burgers.
Up in Kyle?
No, it's in San Marcos.
Oh, okay.
They're both so good. Man, honestly, Lolita's is probably really good. There's also a place called Herbert's Taco Shop that has really good food. The grist mill, which is in Green. Mm-hmm. There's so many. Honestly, I could go on forever. The little breakfast taco shop is so good.
Awesome. So we know that you're currently living in Nashville, Tennessee. So my next question is, can you please compare and contrast your experience between Gun Barrel City, Texas and Nashville, Tennessee?
Yeah. So, I mean, they're drastically different. Gun Barrel is fairly small. It's growing like crazy. A lot of Dallas people are actually moving there because it's on a lake. It's pretty close to Dallas. The school system is fairly good. And so when I grew up there, it was really small. I mean, if you drive down Main Street, it still is super small, but when you drove down Main Street, I mean, there was like a Walmart, a Radio Shack, and like, that's a Chili's. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
And now there's so much. And that's great with the people that live there. I'm pretty sad because when I go home, you know, I want it to stay the same in this little tiny town and whatever. But so definitely the people are different, right? So like Nashville's a melting pot, which is amazing. There's so many people from different backgrounds, different states, countries, whatever. And so that's beautiful to get to watch and recognize and kind of open your surroundings to new views and ideas. I love that about Nashville. The food in Nashville, the music side of Nashville, obviously just in general, being in a city, just the opportunities you have to meet different people and different sounds. And I think it just kind of rounds you out as a person more so. But I really miss the quiet of Gun Barrel and the peace. It is very slow paced life. You know, everyone knows everyone. They're so supportive. All my friends and family live back there. Like everyone lives. I'm the only one that's moved away out of state. So every person lives back there. So my fiance's family lives there. So, I mean, that really is like home base. It'll always be home base. And if I had to really separate the two, it would be just wholeness. Gun Barrel and the way of life in Texas truly is just slower. It's simpler. You know, if you have a house on some land, you know, with, you know, some tractors and your family comes over for Sunday, like that's what you want. That's what you crave versus Nashville. It's hustle and bustle, the coolest new restaurants, which is cool. But I mean, I definitely crave and miss to get homesick a lot from being back home.
I understand that.
Yeah.
What do you enjoy doing in your free time when you're not making or performing music?
That's such a good question. I love to travel, like love to travel. I backpacked Europe when I got out of college. I went for like 30 days, went to a bunch of different countries. So I love to travel. So I'm not traveling for music. I'm probably traveling personally, which is a lot of travel, but I love it. I love to see different places, different people, different cultures. Any opportunity that I have to see a new place, I want to. So I love nature. I love traveling. So ideally, that's what I get to do. Or honestly, I go back home and see my family. That's probably the two things.
That's going to lead me to my next question. What is your favorite part about touring? And what's your most challenging aspect of life on the road?
These are great questions. I was actually on the road this week with Josh Abiman. They were incredible. Their fans were great. They were so nice. The thing about touring is you love it. You get on the high, get so exciting, and then the come down and then like the repetition and how tired you get, it's a lot. So the hardest challenge of touring is logistics and just being tired. Like that's what I would say. It's just, it's back to back. It's constant. You have to always be on. There's not a lot, at least in the stage of artistry that I'm in with touring, right? We drive a lot of the places ourselves and
right.
We manage the logistics of it in hotels and merch and all that. So it becomes very exhausting. But my most favorite thing on the planet is the performing, especially when you're doing the shows that I do where you're opening for these bigger artists. 90% of the time, their fans haven't heard of me yet. So getting to meet them after the shows and being like, hey, either I have heard John Wayne, one of your songs before, or hey, I've never heard of you, but loved your stuff, would love to take a photo. Do you have merch? Would like to follow you. And then seeing them in the crowd and seeing people relate to your music is the craziest thing.
Yeah.
We play a lot of shows in Nashville, but they're kind of smaller, intimate. But to do it on the road with people that are their actual country lovers is the coolest thing ever. I love it.
So you mentioned your song, John Wayne, and I wanted to ask, how has your song, John Wayne, impacted your life and your career so far? Because I remember 1 month ago when we first saw you in College Station, Texas for the Troubadour Festival, before you performed that song, you briefly mentioned how, you know, it's impacted your life and how it's kickstarted so much. So I'm just curious if you could divulge into that. How has John Wayne impacted your life so far?
Yeah, totally. So John Wayne's my song that's done the best. It 100% was, so I got a distribution deal from John Wayne. I've gotten a ton of meetings from John Wayne. It's really opened the doors to just get people to actually, I think, take me serious. So even if the meeting didn't, you know, afterwards of the meeting, maybe it didn't go the way that I wanted, maybe we didn't move into a partnership for whatever reason, that song opened the door to those meetings that I wouldn't have had prior. So that's been really crazy to watch. That's a huge difference. And then also when I'm on the road, there is always at least a handful of people, which I find crazy, that come up to me and I say, hey, I didn't know you were the singer, but I've heard John Wayne before. And so that's really wild to me.
Wow.
But that's, well, I think between TikTok and just the way that music circulates and works nowadays, especially in the Texas country scene, it's really helped. It's opened a lot of doors for me. So I think that's exactly how I got on the Pat Hasty tour. Pat found that song and messaged me. He was like, hey, I think this song is so great. And so then a couple months later, I saw that she was going on tour and I messaged her. And then from there, you know, the WME people from Josh Abbott heard my stuff. So it really was just like a snowball effect of one person hearing the song and then getting a tour. And then from then, another person hearing the song and getting the tour. So it really is from that song, though, 100%.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned, you know, getting feedback and interactions with fans, spectators. What's the best fan mail or fan message you've ever received so far?
Oh, my God, that's such a good question. Okay, so, well, there's two kind of. So there are these two little girls. So, okay. There's these two little girls from our hometown. And I never met them before, but we had kind of like mutual connections through family and friends. So they so there's two different ones. And then we had another little girl who her dad was kind of worried about coming to a concert because she's younger, that, you know, parents.
Right.
So they just didn't know, you know, how crazy it was going to be. But she really wanted to go. And they told her that they were just going to go to the mall. They weren't actually going to come to the show. And then they brought her to the show and surprised her and saw me backstage. And so she started crying and she was so excited. And they like really pulled off. And of course, after, you know, like went and took photos and like merch and all those kinds of things. So there was two different groups of girls that kind of similar things. And they were so cute. And what's so cool is I think kids are the biggest. You can tell if a song is good if you send it to a kid. Kids are honest.
They're
kids
honest.
Yeah, if they like it, don't like it, why they like it, why they don't like it. So kids love John Wayne. I'm so grateful for that. And those three little girls were just so cute. They're from different families, but similar stories about why they came. And they were just so cute. They were just crying. They wanted photos. One of these girls, I wear braids in my hair a lot. And one of these girls wore braids in her bangs.
Oh.
Like, so cute. Yeah, I love it. Because that's crazy to me. I know people listen to my music. There's obviously a way bigger scale in which people listen to music. So when I do hear people that know me, it's like really, really cool. But that's probably the cutest one is they surprised her and then the girls with the braids in their hair. They were cute.
That's awesome. And especially with little girls growing up, like we definitely need more female representation in country music, especially Texas country music. And I think that's definitely like planting the seed for the future.
Totally. No, I
perfect.
There's so many amazing women out there that are talented. I think that what gets hard is that it's just, men will listen to women. You just have to put it in front of them. And so that whole thing behind, you know, well, men listen to men and women listen to women. That's not true. Everyone loves Kacey Musgraves. Everyone loves Miranda Lambert. Everyone loves Carrie Underwood, but it's because they were put in front of them, you know? So I think stuff like this is great. And if more women just have the chance and have that championship behind them, like a lot of men do, and get that push to kind of radio or podcast or whatever it is, then people will like it. You know, people
absolutely
love in front of them. So, yeah,
absolutely. Okay. Next question I have is, if you weren't a musician, which career path do you think you would have pursued?
Yeah, I would definitely be in sales of some sort. That's what my internships were in. That's what my degree was in. My mom's in real estate. She's a broker. My little sister's in real estate. So I would have gone to sales of some sort, or I would have, you know, gone to work for my mom in real estate. Probably moved back home. I probably would not live in Nashville. I wouldn't live in Nashville. So yeah, definitely something more corporate, like 9 to 5 for sure.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Next question I have is, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received regarding your music career?
There's two, and they're both really important. So this isn't necessarily music, but my mom always said that hard work breeds good luck. And it is so true. I've never in my life, it is the best piece of advice ever. I think a lot of people, they're waiting for something to happen, but you have to be ready when that does happen, right? So hard work breeds good luck. If you're doing what you need to be doing day in and day out, even when you don't want to do it, right? Like, I don't want to write a song every day. I don't want to practice every day. I don't want to send emails every day. Like, you just don't. It becomes a job. But if you're doing that, then when you do get the opportunities to go open for Josh Abbott, you're ready, right? And you don't feel kind of like, oh my gosh, am I going to freak out? Am I not prepared? So that's a huge piece of advice. And then when I first moved to town, this is specific to music. He's actually passed away now, but he was an older gentleman. He was a family friend. He'd been in Nashville a very long time. He's a songwriter. And he told me to have a little bit of mystique about myself. And I thought that was kind of crazy because, you know, when you move here, you think you want to make this big kind of boom. You want to be known. You want everyone to know your name. You want to kind of make this scene about yourself. He was like, right. Yeah. But he was like, keep some mystique about yourself. He was like, you know what you can do. You know what you're worth. And you don't want to be that person that is the loudest in every room. Just kind of sit back, watch, wait for your opportunity. And then and reach out and have those opportunities. Be driven, you know, go after what you want. But just, you know, watch before you proceed with meeting people or taking certain meetings. And just, again, have a little bit of mystique. You want people to come to you. You want people to wonder, hey, I've heard Rachel Lauren's music, but I want to know more about her. Or what is she doing now? You know, you want to kind of have that brand about you. And
I've,
the longer I've been in music, understood why that's so important, especially out on the road with bigger artists. You're grateful to be there and you want them to know that, but you also want to kind of, you know your place and know what you bring to the table. And so I truly understand what he meant by that now.
What are your future goals and aspirations as a country artist?
That's such a good question. I mean, so I have obviously short-term goals and I have, you know, long-term goals. I would love, love, love to, we've seen it with, you know, like Parker McCollum, Cody Johnson. We could even throw Haley Witters in there. I would love to bridge that Texas country scene with mainstream Nashville. So I would love to hear my music on the radio, but mainstream radio, and kind of bridge that sound, right? And bring more of that Texas sound to mainstream. People want it. I mean, if you look at, again, people like what they're told to like. So if you put it on the radio, 99% of the time, people will.
Right.
Some form of a group of people will like it.
Expose them to it.
Totally. It's all about exposure. And so that's a huge goal of mine. I would love to be in the mainstream artist route. I am Texas country to a T. I really am. But I would love for it to become just country music, right? It's sad to me a little bit how sectioned off we are. And that's not a fault at anyone. It's just how Nashville operates. And I see it slowly forming together with artists like Cody Johnson, Parker McCollum, all of them. But I would love to see it happen more because there hasn't really been a female to do that from the Texas country space to cross over. And so I would love to do that. A short-term goal is continue to build out my team. So I have a very small team around me, but I would love to get more into the Nashville-based team so that we do have the opportunity to amplify that. So if you see like Flatland, they're on the road with Luke Combs, but they're still Texas country, right? But Luke Combs is that mainstream guy. Right. But the exposure that then Texas country is getting because they have access to his fans is huge. And so being able to build a team around that that sees that same vision as me would be huge.
That's fantastic. My last question I have for this section of the interview, and I ask this from everyone, whether it's a audio interview or a print interview. This is very important to me. What are you hoping to add to the country music genre?
Great question. I think that I want to add a unique perspective that hasn't been told before. And you'll hear a lot of artists say that, but it's because it's true. The reason why I wanted to start, when I created my EP, I literally created it because I thought it was something that wasn't out there and it was something that I wanted to listen to. I thought that there was a sound that was missing in country music and there was a way in which we were creating lyrics that was missing in country music that I wanted to listen to. And right. So I knew that I naturally kind of had more of like an ethereal, whimsical tone. And I love that. And I have artists that I love like Casey Musgraves and Chris Stapleton and all of them, but I hadn't really seen someone in the Texas scene do it at like a country music level with the etherealness. And so it's really important to me that that grows to see exposure, but that lyrically I stay very raw and very authentic and very storytelling and very for a purpose. I don't want every song I sing to be a love song. I don't want every song I sing to be, you know, an anthem to something I believe in. I don't want every song I sing to be a story. I want it to be well-rounded and I want it to be new thoughts and relatable to people, real people, right? Like real people from my hometown that go through real experiences. And I want them to be able to listen to album over album and relate to each song in a different way for years to come. And I want to grow with my music. So I hope that answers your question, but I think the key points are, and the way that it sounds, it's really important to me that I continue to bring that ethereal Texas kind of whimsical sound to mainstream country, and then lyrically really tell authentic stories in a unique way that hasn't been told before that relate to me and the people that I love back home.
For the record, it does answer my question, and I definitely hear that sound in the work you have already, and it's like it's a great start, and it is unique, and That's what hooks the listener and keeps them listening. And just keep it up, girl. Keep it up. All right. Thank you very much, Rachel. We're going to take a quick break and return with a deep dive into one of her songs. Are you ready to saddle up and rock out this summer? Look no further than TexasCountryTour.com, your one-stop destination for all things rodeo and Texas country music festivals. Picture this: vibrant sunsets, the smell of freshly cut grass, and the sounds of your favorite Texas country tunes filling the air. With our interactive calendar, planning your perfect summer has never been easier. Whether you're a diehard rodeo fan or a lover of Texas country music, we've got you covered. Our calendar features all the hottest rodeo events and toe-tapping festivals across the Lone Star State. From the wild bull rides to the foot-stomping concerts, TexasCountryTour.com has the inside scoop on the best events and lineups. Plus, our interactive calendar lets you customize your schedule so you never miss a beat. So, round up your friends, grab your cowboy hats, and head on over to TexasCountryTour.com. Don't miss your chance to experience the thrill of rodeos and the magic of Texas country music festivals this summer. Plan your epic summer adventure today. Visit TexasCountryTour.com, your ultimate guide to rodeos and Texas country music festivals.
Let's
Like what you hear so far? Make sure you never miss a show by clicking the subscribe button. This podcast is made possible by listeners like you. Thank you for your support. Now back to the show.
Welcome back. Before the break, we've learned about Rachel Loren's background and music career so far. Now I'd like to take a deep dive into one of her most meaningful songs. Rachel, which song are we going to discuss today?
Yeah, so one of my favorite songs that I wrote is a song called Darlin'. And a couple reasons why it's my favorite song, but one of the main ones being is that it was the song that kind of started this whole trajectory of music. So I actually, a lot of people don't know this, I had a whole EP recorded. It's not the one that's out today. It was very different. It was me. It wasn't as elevated as I wanted it to be. It wasn't what I wanted to tie my name to for my kind of debut EP record. And I knew that. And I was sitting on it, and I liked some of the songs, but they just weren't what I wanted to tie my name to, and weren't what I wanted to say to the world and how I wanted to say it. And so I was blessed enough to meet a group of girls, Sam Blasco, Aubrey Sue, and Angelie Eddy in Nashville. And I'd wrote with them in the past a couple of different times. But a girl named Aubrey Sue and I had never wrote with. This was our first write together. And again, I didn't really know I was going to do this EP. I just knew that like the EP that I had wasn't what I wanted it to sound like. So I really was just starting over, clean slate. And so I had this write set up with Julie Eddy and Aubrey Tune. And I remember I had this title called Darlin'. I kind of wanted to go back to the basics. And so I loved how Darlin' was simple. It was to the point. And I love songs that are a small title, so a couple words, and then you build a concept around it, but your concept, right? So whatever that looks like. And really, really, really was excited about that. So I took in this idea, and again, it was called Darlin'. And I remember we wrote the song, and I'll talk about that. But afterwards, my friend Julie Eddy was like, hey, I like love this song, and I'm really happy it turned out. But I'm not going to lie, when you brought in that idea, I just didn't know how we were going to do it or what we were going to write. Like the idea, but she was just nice and like going with what I wanted. And so it's so funny hearing that now, because she obviously loves the song, but I had no idea she was kind of hesitant about it. But that song sparked the idea for the whole EP. The EP, Cowboys Don't Change, and John Wayne and all that would not have been wrote without Darlin'. And so Darlin' was the first song that the sound is how I wanted it to sound. The lyric was how I wanted it to be. It really, really, really was the inspiration behind Rachel Loren and what I want Rachel Loren to sound like and the next wave of music that I wanted to put out. And so we wrote that song, Darlin'. It was everything we wanted, from the harmonies to, you know, the uniqueness of the hook and how he wrote it and the way I could do the vibrato on my voice. I mean, it was very specific of how he wrote it. And it meant a lot to me. And from there, I actually texted those girls. It was like a couple weeks later. And I said, hey, I want to write an EP, a whole new EP, which is really crazy. But I want to write a new EP. And I want it, you know, Darlin' to be on it. And I want it to be this kind of sound. And I really love what we're making and creating together. And so by the grace of God, we all had a weekend free, like the following 2 weekends. And so we went out to the studio in Franklin, Tennessee. It was pretty remote. And there was like bunk beds in this room. And it was all of us, it was me, Giulietti, Aubertune, and Sam Blasco. And we wrote the other 5 songs on the EP within like 32 hours or something. And so It was crazy. And Darlin', I mean, it really sparked that. And we would just, I don't know, I think they just really took the time to understand me. They were the first group of girls that listened to what I wanted. So Nashville can be very boxed in. Nashville can be very, you know, I had pitched that idea to other people, mind you. But they don't get it, right? It's not hooked. It doesn't have, it's not, you know, the typical like crazy, crazy, crazy story, super clever hook that was twisted and it was turned. And I love those songs as well, but it just wasn't what I was going for. And these, in my melodies are also, they're different. They're not going to be your typical like 1-4-5, whenever it comes to playing the guitar. And so they were the first group of girls that I really felt were willing to chase what I had envisioned for me. And so that song was very special because I could stand by what that whole EP wouldn't have happened without it.
Wow. So you told us the, basically the songwriting process for the song and how it's catalyzed the EP that's out now. What's the actual story behind the song and the lyrics?
Yeah, so I don't write many love songs, believe it or not. If I do, I do, but they're just because John Wayne's a love song. But I shouldn't say that. When I write the love songs, they're usually more methodical than they are personal. And Darlin' actually was pretty personal. So I, obviously being from the country, that's the word is thrown around a lot. Like even for women, like, oh, darling, like you're welcome, right, darling, or honey or sweetheart, like at restaurants, you know, whatever it is. But I recently got engaged in October, and this was like right before that. And my fiance had given up a lot for me and moved here for me, quit his job for me to move here to music for me. So ton of sacrifice. I'd never gone for him before. And so that's kind of where the darling came from, that idea and that title. And so when we sat down to write it, he definitely was the inspiration behind it, which is amazing after we are engaged, getting married and all that. And he sacrificed a ton for me, truly, to come here and do this. So it was definitely one more of my personal songs. And again, I think in Nashville, we write so much that not every song is super personal. You want it to be, right? And you take inspiration from different things in your life based on an idea. But Darlin' really did come from a personal relationship in my life in multiple different ways. And so that was really cool.
For the record, what is your fiance's first name?
Brandon.
Brandon, you're a keeper. Keep it up.
Yeah.
Can you describe the emotions or feelings that you experience while performing this song?
Yeah. When we perform this song, we do it super acoustic, which is really cool. So if we have a band, sometimes I'll tell them to chill out. Sometimes I'll have them come. But Darlin' and John Wayne, I see people singing, which is the craziest part to me. Darlin's crazy. I actually, if I'm singing and there's people there that I know, people will request Darlin' over John Wayne.
Wow.
And so, I think Darlin' is the point in the set where we do a lot of like of upbeat songs before Darlin'. And so when we get to Darlin', it's kind of the first song that people sit back and watch and listen. And that's really cool because not a lot of songs have that power, especially if you're playing at a bar with people want to two-step and they want to dance and they want to have fun. So the fact that a song has the ability to make people stop and watch and listen is really cool. And that's my favorite thing about a lot of times slow songs, I close my eyes so I like to focus, but I've tried recently on Darlin' to open my eyes and look at people and get their reactions. And Darlin', 99% of the time, people are staring back at you listening. So that's been really, really cool.
They're absolutely engaged. So with this, with your fans and your listeners, especially when it comes to live performances, if they're engaged like that, my next question is, have you ever received any remarkable feedback or personal stories from fans, you know, when they listen to your song or about your song?
Yeah, Darlin'. That's why I chose this song today, because Darlin's so crazy. People have used it as their walk-down songs in weddings. I've been asked for weddings. I actually just sang it at one of my really good friends' weddings, Zach and Lexi Dillon. They just got married, and that was the honor of my life. The amount of times I have been tagged in TikToks and Instagram reels or been sent videos of people using Darlin' to walk down to, which is crazy to me. I had this one girl reach out to me. She's getting married. She just got married in May in Denver, and they wanted me to come out and just didn't work logistically, but to sing Darlin' at their wedding. So it is crazy, like the impact that it's had. And the, you know, when I wrote it again, like I wrote it for me. Like I didn't think about it being a wedding, think about it people relating to it. I really wrote this EP for me and how I wanted to say it. So it's been amazing that people related to it so much. So that's been my favorite thing, is people actually using it at their wedding. Cause that's a big deal when you choose your walk down song at your wedding. So
of course,
loved it that much to use it. I am forever honored. Absolutely.
That's amazing. And like, because that's such an intimate moment, having other people, you know, say, look, I want for my moment, I want your song. And dang, that's got to feel powerful.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. Amazing.
So for this specific song, are there any musical elements or techniques that you enjoy performing, and what makes them stand out for you?
Yeah. This song, I get to really use my vibrato and my voice a lot. And for like those who don't know what that is, it's just the shaky part that some people have in their voice. I love that. Some people don't. But I think vibratos are really cool. I don't get to use it all the time. And I love that I get to use the break in my voice. So when you talk about techniques, I love the way that we wrote Darlin'. It's very much in my pocket, very much in my key. And then when we go up into the chorus and then kind of trickle back down into the hook of it, the way there's a line in there that says, never leaves me worrying. And the way that I get to sing that is very fun and playful. And it's whenever, like as a singer, when you sing a lot of songs, you want to do things that you feel good about and you want to do things that feel fun. And the way that we wrote that melody is really fun for me. And I get to do cool breaks on my voice and on the Darlin', you know, hold it out and show my vibrato. And so that's really cool. And we definitely in the live performances slow it down. So I get to do more of that. So yeah, that's more the techniquey side of it. But I love getting to do that.
So you mentioned that, you know, sometimes you'll slow it down for the live performances. My next question is, how has that song evolved or changed since you first started performing it? And what influenced those changes?
I think whenever you sing a song a lot, you accidentally change it. I've learned that. You don't mean to. I've done the same thing with John Wayne. You just accidentally change it. Probably the tempo of it, I'd probably have to say. Whenever we first wrote it, it was a lot slower. And then the studio, we sped it up a little bit just for commercial purposes. And then I think whenever we sing it now, we probably slowed it down a little bit. It hasn't changed a ton by any means, but I think just when you sing a song a lot, the muscles in your voice just become more used to it. It's just repetition. So I probably do a little bit more kind of random stuff sometimes. Maybe I hold out a note longer. Maybe I don't. Maybe I'm feeling in the mood. That does happen. My guitars, people are great. They just like follow me and let me do whatever I want.
That's
amazing.
Art.
Yeah. Yeah. I just kind of what I'm feeling. I do stuff like that, but as far as changing the song, not so much, but I do kind of, you know, it depends how I'm feeling. If I repeat, you know, maybe at the end of the song, like I'll go up and I do another line. It just kind of depends.
So I have my last question here. And we've learned the origin of the song. We learned the story behind the song. We learned in this interview about how it became a concept and how it ended in the songwriting process, how it became a catalyst for the EP that's out now. My last question is, if you had to choose one word or phrase to describe the essence of this song, what would it be and why?
That's such a great question. One word. You know, probably this is going to sound kind of weird. I'm going to say youthful, and hear me out why. I think what's a love song, they would say like, oh, like love or romantic or whatever. But the reason why I say youthful for this song is because I wrote this song over 2 years ago, and it, you know, was a time in my life where it's kind of it was about young love, but it was about, you know, we were young in love, but it was mature love. And I just hope that when I always look back on this song, you know, it reminds me of my youth and it reminds me of that feeling of young love and, you know, it never has to die. And, you know, I hope and pray that I have that feeling until the end of time. But there is nothing like young love. And that song kind of encompasses that, and the song is about her feeling love for the first time by someone and, you know, recognizing what love can be and appreciating it and not taking it for granted. And that typically happens in your youth, right? And so that's why I say youthful. I know it's kind of an odd perspective and take on it, but just saying like love or peace or something doesn't make sense because the headspace in which I wrote it in, and then when you listen to the lyrics of the song and the place that girl in the song was, it is a very place of youthful love, which is two words, but that's
fine.
How I would describe it.
That's absolutely beautiful. Like it's nice to learn from you and where that's coming from. And that just ties it perfectly.
Great.
All right. Hey, Rachel will be performing her song, Darlin', right after this break. Hey there, Texas country music fans. Are you loving the artist stories you hear on the Texas Country Tour podcast? Well, we've got something extra special for you. Introducing texascountrytour.com/stories, your go-to destination for captivating print interviews with your favorite artists. If you like hearing the artist stories, then be sure to read them. Immerse yourself in the words, insights, and personal journeys of the talented musicians who make Texas country music come alive. At texascountrytour.com/stories, you'll find an exclusive collection of in-depth print interviews that dive deeper into the minds and hearts of these extraordinary artists. Hear the words come alive on the page as they share their inspirations, struggles, and the stories behind their songs. Reading these interviews is like having a front row seat to the creative process, connecting you even closer to the music and the people behind it. So whether you're relaxing at home, on the go, or simply craving a deeper understanding of your favorite artists, your ticket to a rich and immersive experience. Don't miss out on the opportunity to dive into the fascinating world of Texas country music. Visit texascountrytour.com/stories today and start reading these incredible artist interviews. Your favorite musicians are waiting to share their stories with you. texascountrytour.com/stories, where the artist stories come alive. Ladies and gentlemen, Rachel Loren.
Darling, never saw you coming, but only fools rushing, but here I makes me move like you do, makes me feel just like new. Finally understand what it means to be loved by a man. And he never does it for me, but he always holds my hand. Although I'm rough around the edges, you're my soft place to to lay. In a question, I'm your only.
I want to give a big thank you to Rachel Loren for coming on to the show and talking about her life, her music, and the inspiration all behind it. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. To catch all the latest from us, you can follow us on Instagram at Texas Country Tour and on Twitter at TX Country Tour. Reach out, let us know what you think about the podcast. Feel free to ask us questions about the show. Our goal is to connect you to the greatest music genre in the Lone Star State. So, where is Texas country music taking you this weekend? I'll see y'all next time.
Thanks for listening to the Texas Country Tour podcast. Be sure to visit us at texascountrytour.com. Stay safe, have fun, and support live music.